right?
All right, so we're on Daf Nun today. This will focus. Let's all focus. So we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Chet that Ktuvat Isha is b'ziburi. That when a woman collects her ktuba, she collects from the ziburi, from the least quality ground. So it really means she's getting a din d'oraisa, and the Chachamim didn't jack her up like they did for Baal Chov. Normally gets beinonit, but with an isha, we figure she's eager to marry, so we're going to leave it on din Torah. So then the Rav Marasutra had a chiddush. He said when the Mishnah says that an isha collects with ziburit, that's telling you that the husband is dead. So the Yitzur, in other words, that the marriage terminated through the death of the spouse, then she collects with ziburit. But Lu Yatsur, the husband, would still be alive. Mar Zutra posits that she would collect from the Beinoni, and she would be like any other Baal Chov. So then the Gemara asked the question against Mar Zutra. He says the beginning of the Mishnah mentions a couple of different cases. Hanizak and Shaman and they eat it. Like if you're an injured party, like the eat it best, the Baal Chov, Beinoni, the creditor collects Beinoni, the Kudisha Zigurid. So Ktuvat Isha is talking about when the husband is dead. So presumably these other cases are also talking about when they're dead. But we know there's a din that you can't collect from Nifsei Yitomim, element of Ziburi. In the Ephraim, Nifsei Yitomim, element of Ziburi. So how do we, so it can't be the Mishnah is talking about when everybody's dead. So the Gemara says, no, the Mishnah can be talking about everybody's dead. And why should it be that Nizakin and Baal Chov or Beinoni, which is the din when they're alive. So the Gemara says it could be they're giving a shot to sustain Mar Zutra. He's going to be knocked out in a number of lines. But the Gemara wants to say that the father, became an arev for the son. So if the son would die, he's the guarantor for it. So then, under those circumstances, he fills in the way it would normally be. So a nizakin is normally collected during the lifetime of the debtor, so that's edid. And then the Baal Chov is normally during the lifetime of the debtor. And then, but with Ktuvat Isha, the way the Gemara takes it is typically the Gemara assumes, like Bisman Chazal, because they didn't have a lot of divorces, typically would be after death, so it gets the din of the debt. Now, bottom line on them tenor base. So we touched on this a little bit yesterday, this difference between an arev and a koblin. We said actually the father was a koblin. Koblin is like more of a guarantor. He's saying if you're a koblin, then the creditor could come to you even before he comes to the debtor to seek payment. So Itmar, the bottom line, Itmar arev de ktuba de reik kol l'mishtabe. If a person's an arev on a ksuba, meaning Reuven, like there's a couple, they want to get married. And Reuven says to the prospective kala, don't worry if he, Reuven, isn't good for the money, for the ksuba, I'll be good for it. So notwithstanding his promise, so arev de ktuba de reik kol l'mishtabe, he's not bound by that statement to be an arev, why not? So here we're looking into what is his mind. What did he intend to be mishabed himself? When he made the statement, did he intend to obligate himself? So Rashi takes it not, three lines from the bottom in Rashi, chadad arev ba'almahu. Rashi doesn't explain what he means arev ba'alma, but one of the Mepharshim wanted to say, similar to the Gemara later on, that he's just trying to, further the shidduch. In other words, he wants to encourage the marriage. So that's why he says it, not that he's, and anyway, and the Gemara is going to say that the woman is not out any money, and that's what Rashi said, she's not out any money. So nobody detrimentally relied on him, he wants to say. In other words, like normally if I promise something and then somebody, based on my promise, lends money where he wouldn't lend money, but no money's going out the door here. So therefore, that's not a binding promise. The top line of Nunam and Alephanov was another 10 lines, okay? Koblin de Baal Chov, the person is a koblin by a Baal Chov. A koblin is, he says, the koblin says to the creditor, Tainlo Vaniya Tainlo. In other words, let's say the lender is Reuven, and Reuven wants to lend money to Shimon. So the koblin says to Reuven, give it to Shimon, give the money to Shimon, and I will give you the money. So the Gemara takes that's an obligation to pay Reuven, even if even if Shimon, you know, even before he comes to Shimon. In other words, Reuben becomes like the an agent. In other words, like he's directing, pay him and I'll pay you. Kablan to Baal Chov, Zibre Kol Mishtavi. So Kablan by a Baal Chov, everybody holds that is a binding promise. And if you look at Rashi, the top line, Tarti L'chiyuva Ika, there are two, you know, as far as why, you know, that cut towards an obligation here, cut of the Kablan, who one, he's a Kablan, he's a Tainlo, but he a Tainlach, that's one thing. But oh, the Chas Rimon, in addition to which, they like this didn't detrimental reliance. So there was Reuven, based on my promise, lends the money. Those are two reasons to say that he's obligated. He says, now, Arev de Baal Chol, let's say a person is just an Arev by a garden variety Baal Chol, or of a Kablan de Ktuba, or a person is a Kablan by a Ktuba, please, that's a machloket. Ikulamanda Amar, Abogav Leit, my Nichse de Lova, Shabbat. Some want to say, in these circumstances, even though the Lova has no assets, so it means that if the Lova has assets, you know, I feel more confident I'm going to get paid back. In other words, if I'm the Arev or the Kablan, and the person that I'm guaranteeing has got some assets, so I feel more comfortable with it, more likely I obligated myself. So someone to say, Avogav Leitlinis in Lova Mishtabe. In these circumstances, the person is obligating himself. If he's a Kablan by Ksuba, and we spoke about or we said an Arev by a Baal Chov. The Ikulaman Zamar, but another opinion holds, if the Lova has assets at the time of the loan, then he's obligated himself. He lay lo mishtabe. The Hilcha Tabakulu, but the Halacha in all these matters is Apagav lay lo mishtabe. In all circumstances, even if the debtor or the borrower does not have any assets, the guarantor is mishtabed himself, bar me arev de ktuba, except for the arev by ktuba. So arev by ktuba is the one that everybody agrees is not obligated. He says the abogav de itlay, even though the husband has got money, lo mishtabed. He's in other words, the thing is, we're trying to focus on the thinking of the guarantor. Is he, you know, obligating himself? And the way Rav Schwartz was saying to me, like, is there a gnir stas? This is my timer. Why, by bar me, arev de ktuba, why is he not mishabed himself? Mitzvah hu da'abat. He feels I'm just doing a mitzvah. I'm kind of like, you know, furthering like the shidduch. Below media chasma. And she's not out any money. The woman's not any money. No money is exchanging hands. So arev de ktuba, not binding. Everything else, yes, binding. All right. Let me do three more lines. I'll pause the two dots. Now, the Gemara says, now, if you remember, we hooked into this by Marzutra's statement. Marzutra said, when the Mishnah says that Ketuvit Isha is Biziburit, he said that's only if the husband is dead. The husband's alive, meaning that the marriage terminated with divorce, then according to Marzutra, then the woman can collect from the Beinoni. So, and again, it's the same amount of money, but we assume people want like the higher quality property. Anyway, the property. So, Amravina Tashma. So Maravina says, if we look at the original Takana, we had a brisa that we did yesterday, and it said, why were they even Takain Zibur to Isha? Yotermi Masha Ishra Tselisa, Ishra Tselinase. The Tana of the brisa said, more than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married. Women are more eager to get married than men. So we don't have to kind of incentivize them. So, but if you would assume that this takana of ziburit is only when the isha is collecting from the atomi, meaning the husband is dead, haimishum diatmehu. So the reason isn't because of, you know, what we just said, that the woman doesn't need incentive. The reason she's getting, in other words, we're saying the way Marzutra wants to propound that a woman gets beinoni if the husband's alive, but only if he's dead, she gets ziburi. The reason isn't because women, you know, don't need incentive. That's why we're doing Zibur. It is because she's collecting from Yitomim. That's what the Tana, the Brisa, should say. So Tiyufta, the Marzutra, Tiyufta. So Marzutra is all upgeslacht. That's history. Okay, who said questions, comments to us on anything we did so far?
How would you define Kablan? Because it's defined in Art Scroll as Kablan.
So it's like a type of, you know, like
Arev.
Well, like if an Arev will say, you have to look for a word. Like if an Arev is a guarantor, so maybe Kablan is like a surety or something like that. I don't have an exact English word for it. but it means a greater degree, a greater degree of you know, responsibility, right? Like, in other words, with the Kablan, you don't have to go to Lova first, go to the Kablan first. Okay, what's up? What? Say again. And so he's already married to several wives, right? But here we're not giving her an incentive. I don't know if you need to. In other words, she doesn't have to marry this guy. In other words, there's a lot of, you know, fish in the sea, but it means that the woman, you know, women have a fire on them. They want to get married more than men want to get married. That's what the Gemara is saying. So I don't have to incentivize them. Okay. I mean, you can always find a case where it's not such a, you know, a choice marriage, but they'll look elsewhere. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara with two dots.
Rabbi, this is Daniel. Nowadays, it doesn't apply. Women don't want to get married more than the men. Does that change halacha or otherwise?
I don't know if that's the case that you're saying, Daniel. Who says is right? I don't know, but the Gemara takes it, like the Gemara has certain suppositions, certain, you know, like presumptions that people act in certain ways. That's something that's like, that we assume stays the same. Okay.
Women are not dependent on men financially or otherwise. I mean, their nature and the times have changed.
No, but it's right. Like Yosef is saying, it may not be just financial, but please excuse me, Daniel, I have to keep moving, okay? Go back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says we're at the two dots. So Amma Mar Zutra of Rei Rav Nachman and Rei Rav Nachman. So here we have Mar Zutra again, the same Mar Zutra who brought us that halacha about Tuba Isha where he was up. So the bottom line is that Tuba, whether the husband is alive or dead, he puts from Ziguri. But he says, Starkova Yotzeo Yotomium. Let's say somebody is a creditor. In other words, he was the father's creditor, not connected to marriage. In other words, just somebody, Reuven lent money to Shimon, and then Shimon dies, and Shimon leaves an estate. Now Reuven lent him $100,000. Now he brings out a Starkova. Afal Pif Klipo Sheva. So in the original IOU note, Shimon had explicitly stipulated with Reuven that if I default on this loan, you can collect not just from Benoni, but from Evie. You can collect from the Sheva, from the best property. So the parties are free to make whatever agreements they want. So in this case, the debtor or the prospective debtor made you know an agreement to give greater rights to the Malva. So Eino Gova Elamin Ziburi. So Bar Zutra says that once the father, the debtor, dies, so the rights of Reuven are, even though Shimon had made a promise to him to give him Shevach, once Shimon's not alive anymore, now Reuven wants less than he stayed, so now he's bumped down from Edi to Ziburi. So Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, Teda, like I'll prove it to you. He says, the Baal Chov, Bina Beinoni. In other words, a garden variety Baal Chov can collect from Beinoni. He says, Miat made Ziburi. Wouldn't he tell him only from Ziburi? So just like a garden variety Baal Chov gets knocked down from Beinoni to Ziburi, here the enhanced Baal Chov, he alleges, Abai does, that he gets knocked down from Edi to Ziburi. So Rava says to Abaye, Hachi Hashta, how can you compare those two cases? How so? Baal Chov, he needs the right of Ziburi to the Ula. A garden variety Baal Chov, on a Torah level, he's entitled to collect from Ziburi, because Ziburi is the worst property. Like Ula says, the Amar Ula, Bar Torah Baal Chov is Ziburi. Ula says, Minatora, Baal Chov can collect from Ziburi. Kineamar, Bechutz Tamo, Ba'ish Begomer. So it says in Parshas Kitetei, Ba'ish Shertano Shebo, Yotzil Lechad Avora Chutza. So you stand outside, and the debtor will bring the security out to you if you're the Malve. So the Gemara assumes, like if he defaults on the loan, he'll collect from that security. Madar Koshal Ishla Hotzi. So if you're a debtor and you're bringing out some security for the Malve, so what type of property are you going to bring out? You're not going to bring out your most beautiful item. You're probably bringing out the thing that you like least want. In other words, the lower class property. So here, he's extrapolating from this pasuk that in the event any debtor, you know, defaults on a loan, so the Baal Chov, the creditor, is limited in Minotaur to collecting from the Ziburi. So why did the Chachamim teach us that Baal Chov, general, can collect from Beinoni, which is jacking him up one level, they float to Nodel, but they Logan. for policy considerations, we want people to lend money. So we want to incentivize people to lend money. So if a lender, he could just collect money from his Sibur, not so enthusiastic about it. But if we push him up to, they don't need, so that would encourage them a little bit more to lend money. That's why we normally do it. So so then when the debtor dies, so the Chachamim say, in other words, within the Rabbanan, you can collect from Benoni, but now the debtor is dead, we're putting him back on the Din Torah. We're going to default over to what the Din is, Min HaTorah. He says, Ela Hatha, but here, where the debtor stipulated that the Malva could collect from the Edi, even the Din the right to the Edi. So if the debtor is stipulating with the Malva, they're agreeing between both of them that the Malva has a right to collect from the Edi, and Tosis points out that Rava is holding that Shibuta Doraisa, that if I have, in other words, if I have the right against your property, that's a right Minatora, Shibuta Doraisa. He says, and then then he says, Kaman Tadina be the right to eat it, I feel miat may not be eat. So Rava wants to say, so again, we had Allah the Bar Zitra said, if the parties stipulate between themselves that the Malva Ruvain has the right to collect from the Edit of Shimon, Shimon default. But then Shimon dies, I guess you can have a bigger default of that. Shimon dies, then Mar Sutra says that Reuven's rights get bumped down to the Ziburit, which is what a Yatom would be. So, and Abayi says it makes sense because normally Baal Chol, or Garden Variety Baal Chol, was Beinoni, but he gets bumped down to Ziburi. So Rabbi says, is that the case? This is different. Look, you're right. In other words, the din of Beinoni is a din to Rabbanan. The Chachamim said, we're going to push up the din Torah, which is Ziburi, we're going to push it up to incentivize people to lend money. But here, where the parties stipulate between them that they have a right to Edid, so them in a Dahora, he's entitled to collect from the Edid. So does that make sense that when he dies, he's bumped down to Ziburi? So that's what Rabbah wants to say. But now the Gemara is going to ask some questions against Rabbah. Let's all focus. And we'll pause when we get to the two dots in another 10 lines. But according to Rabbah, how will he deal with his brisa that was taught by Avram Chozah? For I believe it's what we're saying today, that there are very few times you see, almost never in Shas, that anybody's named Avram or Avram. That name doesn't appear. You have a lot of coming from Yaakov. He said a few Yitzchak. I don't know why, but no Avram or Avrams. And then he was asking that, can you name somebody Avram? In other words, it says, like, Rishim Ka'od Avram Kim Avram Yeshemecha. So here you have some Avram. Anyway, but either way, Avram Chozah taught the following brisa. In Ephraim and Esa Yitomim, element of Ziburi, so far so good, that you, when you're collecting from Yitomim, you're pushed down to Ziburi, v'apilu heim nizakin, even if they are the injured parties, we'll have to see. We think it means that even if an injured party is trying to collect his damages, and he's collecting the damages from the Yitomim, he's Ziburi. That's right. V'han nizakin, dinu midiraita be'idi. So this is a kasha against Rabbah. Rava says, if you in a Torah, you have one din when the person's alive, so then that din should say the same when the person is dead. It's only a din to Rabbanan that it can knock down. But here, the Braisa says, we think, when Nizakin, you don't need the right to the Edi. So Nizakin, injured parties, Meitav Sadim, Meitav Karmo Yishlein, we've spoken about this in this parak, an injured party is entitled to recoup his damages from the Meitav, from the Edi. So, but nevertheless, we think the Braisa is saying that if the, you know, the mazik is dead, then you get dropped to Zibur. That's kasha against Rava. So the Gemara says, no, hafamaya skinan, what are we talking about in this brisa? Don't try to eat it to Nizak, because Zibur the mazik. That the edit of the Nizak, in other words, like within Rabbi Shmuel, that the edit of the injured party is equal to the Zibur of the mazik. Rabbi Shmuel, he da amar midraika b'd Nizak shaminan. So this brisa is going like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds on a din Torah, but the Nizak Shemina, this is Meitav, we look at the injured party. The injured party is entitled to recoup his damages from the Edid, like a land that's equivalent to his best property. He says, and if the Mazik's, if his best property is equal to the Mazik's worst property, that's what his rights are. But Rabbi Shmuel agrees, and we spoke about it in the Mishnah, that on a din to Rabbanan, the way Rabbi Shmuel learns, or the way we learned the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that on a din to Rabbanan, that he says it gets jacked up to the edit of the mazik. In other words, so the best of the mazik. So he says here, Gabi Yatne, Okur Rabbanan Duraita. So, but So it's again, it's saying that there was a din derabanan that he could collect from Meitav of the Mazik, but when they're Yitomim, so now we're going back down to the din Torah, which is a din Ziburi. But it's not a kasha against Rabbah, because Rabbah says if it's din Doraisa, we're not going to knock them down. So Ini, is this true what we just said, that according to Rabbah, we're not going to knock you down if you're at a din Doraisa? Batani Reblezer Niftah. Reblezer Niftah taught the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Ein Ephraim in Nisa Yitomim, Ela Min HaZiburi, that review again, the same as before, you're only collecting from Nisa Yitomim Min HaZiburi, from the worst property, Bafilo Hein Idi. Even if they're Idi, we don't know what these words mean. So Maya Filo Hein Idi, what does it mean, even if they're Idi? Lav Avagav Dechiv Idi Bishtara. Is the Braisa not talking about the case that Rav is talking about, that we're talking about, that the parties agreed in their shtar that the debtor would pay back the chov if he defaulted with edid? And notwithstanding that, the Bryce is saying that if he's dead, you get the ziburi. If that's the case, this Bryce is on all fours against Rav. So the Gemara says, lo, my edid, shafai edid. No, what does edid mean in the Bryce? It means shafai edid, where the edid is not around anymore. It disappeared, meaning the property got destroyed or something like that. Now, or somebody else has robbed it away. It's not available anymore. Kid Rabba, like Rabba said, Dama Rabba, Hizik Ziburi, Govim and Aidi. He says, if the Mazik, you know, damaged Ziburi of the Nizak, he's Govim and Aidi. The Nizak is entitled to collect from the best, from the Aidi. But Shafai Aidi, but if the Aidi is not around anymore, because, in other words, it means like this, that the Mazik had, he had Edid, he had Benoni, he had Ziburi. And the way Rashi has it, he had super Edid, like A-plus property. And so normally, the way this price is going, like within Rabbi Akiva, but even with Rabbi Shmuel, like you're entitled to collect either on the bond level or the rice level from the Edid, from the best of the best. I can collect from the best of the Mazik. But then something happened to that property. The property got flooded, or it got wind blasted, it got destroyed. So it's not worth anything anymore. So then I'm knocked down. He says, "Govim Edid, Shafai Edid, Govim and Beinoni." So then I get knocked down. I'm not going to take Edid anymore. Now I'm going to go Beinoni. Even though normally I get Edid, now I'm going to get Beinoni. We got a Yatne, but by the Yatomim, Okura Banana Doraita. So by the Yatomim, so the Chachamim put it on a Torah level, which is to get the Ziburi. It means like this, that he's entitled to collect from the Edid. But now the Edid disappeared. So the Chachamim is saying, then in those circumstances, if you can't collect from the Edid, so we're nice guys, we're going to give you a break. We're going to say you can collect from the Beinoni. But really, on a Din Doraisa, you know, you're only entitled to collect from the Ziburi. One second. Let me just see. One second. Yeah. Let's take a look at Rashi. Govim and Beinoni. The Azale Dine. In other words, his right to collect from Beinoni has gone away. The Amarle Peach Mistachav Asadcha Mazlach Agaram. So the Mazik says to the Nizak, your field, you know, got flooded. That was the field, and that was your bad Mazel. So mitzada din, now I can push you down to Ziburi. In other words, if you're not getting Edid, then now you're going to be pushed to Ziburi. This is element tikkun olam who, because tikkun olam they said beinoni, but by Yitomim they said no, you're going to take it into Raisa. So again, so Rava says that if the parties stipulate between themselves with Edid, and then the debtor dies. So Rava says that you're still entitled to collect Edid from the Yitomim. And then we asked the Braisa against Rava. We thought the Pshat in the Braisa was that case, and he's collecting from the Ziburi. That's what we thought. The Gemara says, no, that's not what the Braisa is talking about. The Braisa is just talking about, like, somebody had a claim and he was entitled to Edid, but the Edid got destroyed. So therefore, on a Din Doraisa, he's entitled only to the Ziburi. But, you know, Tikkun Olam, they let him have Beinoni, but here, but you tell me we're going back to the Ziburi. All right. Who's your questions, comments, thoughts on anything I said so far?
Do you think that Edid is like having more
No. Again, you haven't been around for a while, but the we're saying like this. It's like, which weighs more, a ton of feathers or a ton of steel? So they both weigh the same thing, right? So the same thing, like you're trying to collect property. So either way, I'm going to get the amount of money that's due me. But all things being equal, I'd rather have the higher quality field than the lower quality field. I'd rather have 1 acre of the A fields than 2 acres of the C fields. So that's all he's saying. But there's Edith, Benonit, and Siburi. You're going to take as much to satisfy whatever money is due you. Wait, I'm losing you. No.
Can I suggest something? Rabbi Shuli Bornstein said, think of it as $1,000. You can get it as 10 bills. You can get them in 50s. You can get them in 20s. You can get them in 10s. Exactly right. It's the same money, but it's just a different, okay?
All right. Everybody good? Okay, we're moving on. Okay, so we're 10 lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? All right. So now we're going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, again, we're learning different things that were Mibnei Tikana Olam. So they had a takana that if you're collecting property from Yitomim, you go to the Ziburi. When the Mishnah says you're collecting from Yitomim, you're entitled to only collect from Ziburi, is that Katanim? Does that mean Yitomim who are minor children below Bar Mitzvah? Or if it was adult, or even adults, but they're Yitomim, you only collect from the Ziburi. So Takantihi to Abed Rabbanan, Gabi Yatme, Liktanim Abed Rabbanan, Ligdolo Abed Rabbanan. Do I say it was a Takana? It was an enactment to help out the Yitomim. Meaning, the way Rashi has it, let's see Rashi, he says, Takantihi to Abed Rabbanan, Lachos Liktom Lahavidam Aldin Torah, Kehiz a Torah Kumokar Zibor, Shemam Yitrak Lishlam. In other words, Yitomim don't have anybody to do for them, things like that. So we said, you know, if you're whatever you are, you're a creditor, whatever you are, so you'll take the ziburit, you'll sell the ziburit, it's on you. But that's just for the minor children, not the adult children. O Dilma, back in the Gemara, Mishum, or perhaps Mishum Dlomasik, it means like this. Or maybe it means no. Maybe it means that it's for the minor children and the adults. It's not a takana. That's the din on Din Torah from Ziburi. See, and why do we normally have Beinoni? Because it's low to no delit of Neilovin. In other words, every Baal Chov on a Din Torah collects from Ziburi, but we jack it up to Beinoni to incentivize people to lend money. So the Gemara is going to say that by Yitomim, if I give the Baal Chov the right to collect from Ziburi, would that kind of be a disincentive to lend money? No, the Gemara is going to say, because people don't think that the lova is going to die. That's where the Gemara takes it. So let's take it back to the Gemara. This is Odilma Mishum Dlomasi Kedait to the Malva to meet lova. Like no Malva thinks that the lova is going to die. The Nafli Nichsei Kamiyatne, and I'm going to have to collect the assets from the Atomium. Probably Noel Delit. In which case, that would have the impact of being Noel Delit. So they're not thinking that way. So therefore, means that we're just doing it on Din Torah by any estate. Whether the Yitomim are adults or minor, you know, be limited to the Din Torah. So that's the question. So when the Mishnah says that when you're collecting your, is it only the minor children or even the adult children? In other words, we're just putting it on a Din Torah, Ziburit, and we're not afraid of any, you know, market implications because we don't think that, you know, Malvim in general, you know, creditors in general are thinking that the loeb is going to die and they're thinking, oh, if I don't have my rights, if the person dies, I'm not lending money. Nobody's thinking about people dying. That's the way the Gemara takes it. So that's the question. That's the question. So the Gemara says, Tashima, Tani Abayi Kashisha. So we'll try to learn a Brisa, or we're trying to, you know, from the answer from the following Brisa. Abayi the elder, he got following Brisa. He told him Sha'amu Gedolim, Bain Sarifa Mark Tanim. So the Brisa is short and terse. When the Chacham referred to Yitomim, they're referring to Gedolim, adults, and it goes without saying Tanim. So we think that Brisa answers the question, that it's always Ziburi. So the Gemara says, Vidilma, Hanimila, Nishua. Maybe that Brisa is talking about the obligation of a creditor or somebody claiming money from the estate to take a shvua. In other words, that if the father were alive, he could have tainted, I paid you this debt already. In other words, the person has a shtarchov. So maybe the father were alive, he'd say, I paid it, or I paid part of it. So we take a shvua. So here also we're going to say, so maybe it means that whether the orphans, you know, are minors or adults, he says, the gadol b'nei nevuah k'tachad dami. In other words, a gadol, vis-a-vis his father's affairs. A gadol even could be an adult child. It could be 18 or 20. I don't know what my father did. I don't know if he paid or didn't pay. So maybe for an yeshua, we'd say, yeah, in Achinami, we're saying that yitom shamu gadol makes rith lamar k'tanim. But that din is saying it's the same. Aval in ziburit lo, but for ziburit, maybe it's not the same. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is unable to resolve it from that braisa. Mehilchata, turn page, top line on Menorah Beis. Mehilchata, Yitomim Sha'amru, when they said to Rutomim, Yidoli Mein Tzarich Lamar Ketanim, Bein L'Shvua Bein L'Ziburit. So the Gemara says, when they refer to Yitomim, they mean, right, whether they're adult or minor Yitomim, and whether it's for a din of Shvua or a din in collecting Ziburit, so they get the benefit of the Ziburit. Right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? No. So here we're talking about one halacha, but you're asking, in other words, like when it says what kolam anavi atom lo tanun, don't you know afflict the widow and the atom? I don't think there is an age limit on it, because I don't think there is an age limit. In other words, you know, Yatom could be like, he could be like, you know, 25. Well, actually, a Yatom, I think, is a little bit, usually I'm thinking maybe when he was Somech on his father's Shulchan, when the father was supporting him financially. Yeah, if he's not being supported financially, then he might be in a different getter. But that's what I'm thinking. If the father was financially supporting him. Yeah, so that's the same idea, but that's where the Gemara is like, Somech al Shulchan Aviv. I'm not sure, but that's what comes to my mind. Okay, well, let's see, but that's possible. I don't know. Okay, let's see, what? All right, let's take a look. Now, in the Ephraim and Achasim Shubarim, the Makom Sheish B'nei Chorin. Okay, everybody focused. So, a different halacha we had in the Mishnah, if, let's say I'm a creditor, again, we're not talking about the dead people and things like that. We're talking about I'm a creditor, and so I want my money. So, and let's say I lent $100,000. Let's say Reuben lent $100,000 to Shimon. Shimon had 10 acres of land when Reuben lent him the $100,000. Now he's had 1 acre of land because the other 9 acres he sold to 9 different purchasers. So as a creditor, even though the purchasers have the edid, I have to go to the Nechasim B'nei Chorin. I have to first go to the land that Shimon has before I go to any of the Nechasim Shabbatim, to the later purchased properties. So in from the Nechasim Shabbatim, Makom Sheish B'nei Chorin. So by Rabbi Achad Boi Bar Ami, the Matana Hayach. So Rabbi Achad Boi Bar Ami asks, what if Shimon, instead of selling land, had given away the parcels of land as a gift? Would that change the halakhic, situation? Do I say, Takatu da Abed Rabbanim Shem Pseidit L'Kuchot? Do I say this was a takana that the Chabim instituted? It's not a din. Reuben the Malda has every right to collect the property wherever it is. And it was with the star. He had a star with the loan. But perhaps the Chabim were the Choshesh for the Lekuchot, because let's say if I purchase property, so I might have purchased the property without Achrayus. Maybe, in other words, like a quick claim deed type of thing. In other words, without a title guarantee. In other words, so sometimes a person, like the Gemara learns that we assume that there was Achrayus Nechasim, but assuming there was no Achrayus, the seller says, I'm not guaranteeing any title with this. Then the creditor seizes the property. So now the buyer is out of hole. He lost the money. And then even if he has Achrayus, but now when he, let's say he purchased Edi property. Now when he goes to Reuven, the debtor seller, you know, to recoup, so Reuven may not have other property like that, you know, like that. So yeah, and even if he forcefully is collecting the money, he may only have Ziburid, and I don't want Ziburid. So I'm in a worse position. So he says here, so maybe that's Takatu de Rabbanim Shem Pseidin L'Kuchot, about Matan, like Pseidin L'Kuchot Lo, but by a gift, there's no Pseidin L'Kuchot. In other words, the guy you know, here we have like the receiver of a gift from Reuven. Let's give him a name. Let's say I had Reuven lent money to Shimon, right? And then Reuven lent money. Did I do that right? Or let's say Reuven will be the lender. Shimon will be the borrower, and Shimon is the one selling the property. So let's say Shimon sells the property to Levi. Let's say instead of selling the property to Levi, Shimon gives the property to Levi. So is there any reason I can't say that Reuven is entitled to go to Levi? Oh, Dilma, Matani Nami, Matana. Or perhaps you'd say, even a Matana is not a Matana. It means like people don't give a Matana like from out of clear blue. You give a Matana, you did something for me. Like, right. In other words, you did something for me, now I do something for you. So it's not like he didn't pay anything, not like Levi did nothing to get this Matana. Presumably Levi did something to get the Matana. So he would be losing out potentially with this whole situation. Milchah keeps it in Lekufo, in which case it is more comparable to the case of Lekufo. So that's the question that's on the table right now. So Amrli Mark Kashisha Bereid Rav Chisda Ravashi Tashma. So Mark Kashisha, he says, the son of Rav Chisda says, Ravashi, we're going to try to deduce the answer to this question from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Shchivin Ra Shamar. If Shchivin Ra is somebody on his deathbed, and we know the Dibre Shchivin Ra can prove it for Suri Dami. If you're a Shchivin Ra and you say something, it's like the person already acquires it without a kin. So Shchivin Ra Shamar, two my times is the pony. He says, he's on his deathbed. He says, give 200 zuz to Plony, to Reuven, Rishoshmei Ot Leplony, and 300 zuz to Shimon, we are Abami Ot Leplony, and 400 to Levi. In Omen called Kona B'Shtar Zafa, let's say he, you know, reduced that statement to a star. I don't say that each person is Zocha, that Reuven is Zocha before Shimon, was Zocha before Levi. I don't say that each one was Zocha before the other one. In other words, I don't view them as like purchases of the property. Then one purchased on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. I don't view it that way. Therefore, if after the death, let's say the donor will be Yaakov. So Yaakov's on his deathbed. He says 200 zuz goes to Reuven, 300 zuz goes to Shimon, 400 zuz goes to Levi. I don't say it's like Reuven got his property, then Shimon got his property, then Levi got his property. Rather, I view it, everybody got it at the same time. Therefore, if after Yaakov's death, somebody shows up, Zvulun, with the Star Chov, IOU note, and he owed me 300 zuz, he says, Gova mi kulam. He's entitled to collect from all of them, or alternatively, even if he collects from one of them, but they have to make it up to each other, but means the liability will be in direct ratio to what they have. So one's got 200, one's got 300, one's got 400, so the ratio is 4-3-2. So even if he takes all the property, let's say it was 300 zuz, and he takes 300 zuz from Levi, now Levi's got 100 zuz, they have to redistribute all the money or the property they got between them in the same proportion as he gave it to them. Aval, here's the key point though. Aval, imamar, tnu matayim zuz leploni. If Yaakov says, give 200 zuz to Reuven, v'acharav leploni, and then afterwards, meaning Reuven is Zocha, now after him, I want you v'acharav leploni, give to Shimon. Ba'achrav Leploni, and after him give to Levi, Omrim, Kulaton Bishtar Zafa. So the Patan of the Brisa says, we say now that each one is viewed as like, or it depends on the order, a prior.
Creditor of priority.
Not a creditor in this case, but he's a prior, I don't know, legatee. Anyway, one thing. So in other words, so Reuven acquires his bequest before Shimon, who acquires it before Levi. Lefichach yetzalav shtar chov. So therefore, in this case, the Zvulun now shows up with the shtar chov, Govim and Ha'achron. So then he with the shtar chov will go to the last acquired. In other words, he'll go to Levi first. In other words, we're viewing it as like, here we're talking about money, but it's the same thing as with the property. In other words, if the debtor sells property to Reuven, and he says another property to Shimon, and he says another property to Levi, and now a creditor shows up. So first the creditor is entitled to, or goes to Levi, because Levi is the last purchaser. And then if that doesn't satisfy it, he goes to Shimon. Then it goes to, there we go reverse chronological order. He says, Ainlo, if Levi doesn't have enough to satisfy the debt, go to Mishil Lepanav, you go to the Shimon. Ainlo, go to Mishil Lepanav. If you don't have him, you go to Reuven. So that's the end of the Braisa. the Avoga, the Kama, Beinoni, Ubatra Ziguri. So even though, assuming that Reuven got a piece of property that was Beinoni, and Levi got Ziburi, the Baal Chov is limited to Levi's property, which is Ziburi. That's what he has to go. Miziburi gami nona lo gabi. Shlami nama tani nami abu rabbanan tekanta. So again, we're trying to figure out. We said that when it comes to collecting property, I can't collect from nechasim shobadim when there are b'nei chorin. So when I talk about nechasim shobadim when there are b'nei chorin, so it doesn't happen overnight. So let's say you have the debtor and he has, you know, lots of property. He sells one piece of property. So now he's got, you know, let's say 9 acres that are b'nei chorin and one that's meshubad. Then again, the next day he sells more property. And he's got, you know, 2 properties in the meshubad and b'nei chorin. Then finally, let's say he sells all of them. So the creditor would be required to go to the last encumbered property, the last property that had been sold. So here, the Brisa seems to support the idea that when you have, so the question is, what about when by a matana? What about when the debtor, instead of selling the property, gave the property as a matana? So here we have a case where Yaakov's on his deathbed, he's making matana, he's giving out gifts. And he gives out the gifts first to Reuven, then he's giving a gift to Shimon, then he's giving a gift to Levi. And the Tana of the Brisa says that the creditor has to go to Levi first before he goes to Shimon or Reuven. That seems to support the idea that by Matana, in Achinami, the same halacha pertains. So the Gemara now deflects the proof and says the proof is not a proof, and we're going to have 3 reasons why the proof is not a proof. Hachmayaskinan, what is the Brisa talking about here, the Baal Chov? So when the Brisa says that Yaakov said, I want you to give the X dollars to Reuven, X dollars to Shimon, X dollars to Levi, it doesn't mean that those were his friends and he's giving Matana out. It means those were his Baalei Chov. Those were his creditors. He's saying, I want you to pay off creditor A, pay off creditor B, and pay off creditor C. So that being the case, that's not relevant to our issue here. He says, Vahatnu Kamar, but he said, give it to him. He says, Tnu Bechovi. He says, give it in satisfaction of my outstanding debt. Vilexi Shtar Deman Kadim. So if that's the case, so why is Tana say we're going to look who got the money, the property last, and then another Baal Chov shows up. And another Baal Chov says, yeah, but he owed me money before all of you, so I want the property. So he says, why don't we look for Leslie Star at the Bankan? Why don't we look at whose star IOU node was earlier? Instead of looking what Yaakov said, give to Reuven, give to Shimon, give to Levi, why don't we look at the outstanding star road? So the person with the later star is the worst position, the person with the early star is in the best position. Again, if Yaakov is the one, the debtor, he owes money to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So he says, pay him off. Pay Reuven, pay Shimon, pay Levi. And we say, so Levi's in the worst position. He gets it last. So the Gemara is saying that's not the way it works with Chovot. We're saying they're Baalei Chovot, they're creditors. So each one, we should look at the starot. We look at Reuven star, Shimon star, and Levi star. When did they lend the money to Yaakov? The one with the earlier loan is in the superior position. The one with the later loan is in the weaker position. That's the Gemara is asking. One second, please. Hold off with questions. Wait 3 minutes, okay? So the Gemara says, Lechi star deman kadim. So the Lechi star, there is no star. But it says whoever is earlier in the star, isn't talking about earlier in the date of the IOU note, the star pakadata. It means in the will, in the tzava'a, who's earlier in the tzava'a. Okay, so the first answer is that we're talking about, not that he's giving gifts to people, he's paying off the Baalei Chovot. So paying off the Baalei Chovot, that's got nothing to do with matana, so it's not probative of the issue that we were talking about. Now, answer number 2. Vibarema, afilu matanami. Or in the alternative, I could say we are talking about matanot, but it's still not a proof to our question. Lokasha, my government ha'achron, a nifsad ala'achron. It could be that when the Tana of Brisa says that the Baal Chov will collect from the achron, the last one, it means a nifsad ala'achron. The only one who's going to lose out is the achron. Again, we were saying that if a debtor gives out gifts, so does the creditor have a right to collect the property from the one who the grantee of the gift. In other words, maybe the one who received the gift got edi, and the debtor has got ziburi. So I'd rather have the edi. So here the proof was that no, he's got to go to the last person who got the gift. But that's the way we're going with it. So there is a priority even with people with the gift. So we're doing it that way. So the Gemara says no. Maybe a nifsad ala achron. Maybe indeed the Baal Chov can go to the earlier people and take their property if that's the edid, but it means the one who ultimately will lose out is the last one in the will. So it means like this. In the will, Reuven got $200, Shimon got $300, and Levi got $400. So, or let's say land worth 200, land worth 300, land worth 400. Now the Baal Chov shows up. So we wanted to say, from the fact that the Braisa says that the Baal Chov has to go to Achron, to Levi, that proves that a Baal Chov can't collect from the Chasim Mishubanim when there's B'nai Chorin. Because that property was the last one to be B'nai Chorin. That was the last B'nai Chorin property. So the Gemara says, no. The Peshat and the Braisa can mean that it's gifts, but the Braisa can mean the one who ultimately is going to financially lose out is the last one, meaning maybe the Baal Chov can collect money even from Reuven. He can collect the Reuven's property. But then Reuven will collect from Shimon. Shimon will collect from Levi. So ultimately, Levi will lose out. But not that he's limited, that he's got to take the Ziburi from Levi. He can take the Edi from Reuven. It's just you got to play musical chairs with it. And then the last answer is, or in the alternative, I could say, we are talking about Matana, but you still don't have a proof, meaning all the pieces of property are equivalent to one another. So it's like six and one half dozen the other. He says, or they're all Benonid, or they're all Ziburid, or they're all Edi. So he's taking from the last one, but it's like a distinction with no difference. In other words, it sounds like he could take from, wait a minute, let me just take a look. One second. Yeah. So he's got to take from the recipient list at last for collecting the beneficiaries. But if the recipient list at first had received Benoni, in other words, it means under these circumstances, everybody's the same. Then under those circumstances, he's got to go to the last person. But if Lu Yetzur, let's say there would be Benoni or Edid on the earlier person, he could collect that. That could be the Peshat, the Braisa, even though it was a gift. Anyway, so the bottom line, the Gemara doesn't resolve this question, and the Braisa is not approved to it. Okay, any questions, comments to us? Well, we don't know if a gift is subject to the same dinim of a nefran mechasim shuvanim from sheish bukhorin. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Okay, now the last halacha that we did with the Mishnah is a motzim la'achila peirot. So this is Reuven is the thief. Reuven the thief sells black acre to Shimon the tzaddik. Okay, so he sells the black acre to Shimon the tzaddik. Then Levi, who's the real owner of black acre, shows up at Shimon's door and says, that's my property, give it up to me, and Shimon gives it up to him. So Shimon has a right now to go to Reuven, he wants his money back. But the Tana of the Braisa says that when he goes to Reuven, he can't collect achila payroll. In other words, he put money into the property, so the money he put into the property, he can collect from Levi. I put this in that he'll collect from Levi. But he wants the value of his, let's say he paid $10,000 for Black Acre. He wants $10,000 from Reuven, but he also wants the value of the produce, of the fruit. Let's say the fruit was $1,000. So here, the Tana of the Braisa taught me that he can only collect from Nechasim B'nai Chorin. He can't collect it from Nechasim Meshubadim. So let's see back in the Gemara. So it means like this. Let's just full focus and we'll come to the questions in a minute. Okay? It means like this. It's not interest at all. Now, it means if Reuven was the thief, Reuven sells black acre to Shimon for $10,000. Shimon puts, $100 into black acre, and now Levi comes and sees black acre. So Levi owes him $100, he put $100 into it. But meanwhile, there's $1,000 worth of fruit on black acre. So Shimon would like his $10,000 purchase price, and he'd like the $1,000 all from Reuven. So the Tana of the Braisa is teaching me when it comes to the $10,000, that he can collect from the Chasim Shubanim. In other words, if Reuven who's quite the character, was busy selling property to people, the $10,000 he can collect from the Nechasim Meshubadim. But as far as the $1,000 for the fruit, he can only collect from the Nechasim B'nai Korin. Let's see back in the Gemara. You will see luckily the payroad. My time, why is that? Amar Ulam Reish Lakish Latishen Ketubin. So Reish Lakish says, because it's not written anywhere. In other words, Reuven the thief wrote a shtar to Shimon, says, I'm selling you Black Acre, and you know I'm responsible for everything with this, the Black Acre. So therefore, the purchasers are on notice that, you know, there could be liability here, so they're responsible for it. But as far as the payroad, then that was not in the shtar. So Amali Rabbi Abel Uda. So now the only thing is Rashi says a little nuanced on this. Let's look at Rashi, the third white line. Lefishen Tubin, Haperalalu, Shinikhtav Shtar Lechir Karka, Agzula, when the shtar from Reuven to Shimon was written up, Adayim Lelayu, the fruit were not yet in existence. He says, below Ketav Shtar, in the Ploni Machar Karka Ploni, the Ploni Bachriot. The only thing it says, Reuven sells Black Acre to Shimon Bachriot. Means I guarantee title. He says, Hilkach, Mea Karka Habu Kamil Bachar, Lazirak Yuto Alav. So the money that he sold it for $10,000, that's like, you know, a well-publicized loan. He says, about Demea Perod, Habu Kamil Bachar. But the fruits, that's like an oral loan that I can't collect from the Fasim Shubarim. Now here Rashi goes off, and this is somewhat of a makloket. The Afagav the Katavle, even though Reuven, according to Rashi, wrote in the shtar, I'm going to establish a quiet title for you. Everything, or the payroad, that only helps Shimon to collect from the Chasim B'nai Korin that Reuven has. About Mishabdi Lo, but not from the Chasim Shubadim, the Talmud build up the star Tarf and Mishabde, Shim to Itlai Kala. The reason you can collect from not Chasim Shubadim, he has a call. Like when they say, oh, Reuven wrote this property, 10,000, the whole belt, and the witnesses, Lahaktiva, late La Kala. He says, but as far as the payroll, there's no call. Shlema La Kar cannot be Kala Ploni, Makar La Ploni, Pilo Quiet. About the payroad, she's in the Dayan B'Shat Mechira in Kol Yotzei. Rashi says nobody knows about the payroad, although I saw they said in the Sifta that Tosos Rid says that he didn't write the payroad in the shtar. But either way, it's not considered like in the shtar. Now, let's get back to the Gemara. No, maybe it did have a call, and maybe the rightful owner did hear about it, and that's what caused him to go seize the property. All right, let's see that. Now, the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Abba Le'ula. So you're saying, if it's not written in the star, so then you're out. So Amalei Rabbi Abba Le'ula, Ba'mazon ha'isha v'banot, d'chman d'chivei danu. What about a husband who dies, and he in his ksuba, statutorily, he obligated, whether it's in the ksuba or not, he's obligated to support his wife and his daughters. That's k'man d'chivei danu. Means even if it was not written, but it's as if it's written, because it's denied based, then the Katani ain't motzin, and our Mishnah says that even for that, they can't collect from the Chasim Mishubadim. So again, we're trying to say, why can't, you know, Shimon, who was the good faith purchaser of Black Acre, collect from the Chasim Mishubadim on the payroad? So he says it wasn't written. So, but here we have a case that's the equivalent of being written, where the husband dies, but Mazon Isha, you can't collect from the Chasim Mishubadim. So Amalei Hatami Kara Hachi Itman. He says that was the original takana, meaning tuvin heinei sabanei chorin, meaning that when we say it's tuvin, like Sinai Bezdin is written, means vis-a-vis b'nei chorin. In other words, there's an obligation for the estate to pay it. That's what it means, it's tuvin. But ain't tuvin heinei sabanei chorin, but it's not considered written with the later purchasers. L'kenama Rabbi Asim Ryokon l'tisha ain't tuvin. Amalei Rabbi Zeiro Rabbi Asi, v'amazon isha v'vano d'kman d'ktivi damu v'tani motzi. The same question. Amalei, the same answer. Amalei mi karahachi itpun, tuvin heinesa b'nei chorin. It's like it's written with b'nei chorin, v'nei tuvin bo heinesa b'shubadim. Now, Reb Chanina Amar, Chanina says a different reason why the mazon isha can't be collected from the chasim b'shubadim, v'tisha ink tuvin. It's not quantifiable, meaning, I don't know how much money that's going to be. This could be, I don't know how much money the wife's going to consume, how it's going to be. So, therefore, we're not going to say that anybody is obligated with this. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Now, let me just see if I have anything to say from the sheet. One second. Okay, we'll just do a story, and then that will be it. Okay, he's got really two stories here. So on today's daf, we find that a woman actually wishes to marry more than a man wishes to get married. We can learn an important lesson from this. Most failed marriages are because the husband either doesn't respect or communicate with his wife as is fitting. In other words, he's saying the wife really wants to be married. When the marriage goes south, something husband isn't doing something right. So Rav Shach Zatzal told of one couple who had a rocky relationship during the first 3 years of marriage. Although this person was Talmid Chacham, it took him 3 years to learn how to properly relate to his wife. Since the time he finally figured it out, everything has been smooth sailing for them. On another occasion, a chassam requested guidance from Rav Shach. How should he act in his home? He answered, if you honor your wife, she is certain to honor you twice as much. If you do not stand on your rights, but instead give in to what she asks for her sake, you will have a very successful marriage. This is how one builds a proper foundation. She will also act as you have and be willing to give in or compromise for your sake on issues that are important to you. Once the couple begins to fight, there's no end to potential arguments. They can even fight about the placement of the table and chairs in the dining room. Rav Shach continued, in order to build your willingness to compromise and give in, you must learn Musar. There's nothing like Musar to help correct defective character traits. Those who only learn Musar as Bachrim are misguided fools. If one needed Musar, say, before marriage, he needs it much more after marriage. Okay, wait, let me end the recording. One second. Hold it.